Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 187. I've got them 4-year FS reviews.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we'll sing our heart and red. For Boston, take sweat drums and play play. And ever with the right shot as big bombs and touch me no more in the world. It's come for Boston, for Boston, how far is
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
And it's come down to that time where we have reached our 4-year anniversary.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really. We've been doing this for 4 years. And then add on like another 3 years for like no borders, no race stuff. So technically it's sort of like 7 years we've been doing this sort of radio show, podcast, shtick.
Great, my head hurts.
Why does your head hurt?
Because that's 7 years.
Why, does it make you feel old or something?
Yes.
But it's one of those things where you gotta look back at where you started and then where you're at right now and just see how much of this world has changed since then. I mean, back in like 2006 when we started this off as No Borders, No Race, I remember the first thing we talked about was, like, the whole video game console wars from years past to right before when, like, PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo Wii were going to launch.
Yeah.
And since that time, it's been amazing how much that has changed now that we're going through that again with the Wii U versus PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, with the Wii U already being launched and Xbox One and PlayStation 4 about to, you know, peer its head out into the console war.
Yeah. Jeepers.
Jeepers?
Yeah, that just kind of just blows my mind that we're kind of still dealing with the war between the systems. So,
well, you see, I always have this sort of, like, outlook of when it comes to console wars where it really is just Microsoft and Sony battling it out against one another while Nintendo's in the background just, like, shining their fingernails and saying, oh, no, but we've already done this with Sega before. We won that battle. You two, go on. Have your little war. We'll be back here just making good games and being unique with our console.
I'm sorry, but when you say good games, I'm not all of them are my cup of tea. That's the
I'm not
like
saying...
You can't
just
go out there and just buy, like, all of, like, when you go to the Wii section and in whatever store you go to, GameStop, whatever, and you go, what the hell? What? I've seen all these games before, but they've just been sitting here collecting dust. That's the problem.
I know. Well, that's the thing, too. I won't lie that that Nintendo kind of slipped a bit when it came to their launch titles, but I'm one of those people that doesn't mind that we have to wait for all the great titles to come out. I'd rather have like one good game come out a month than have 5 games come out each week all being total shit.
Yeah. It's one of those one for one things. It's like if they put out 10 games, they're 10 for 10 for sucking.
Yeah.
And I think it sucks that people sometimes have to go to their 3DS in order to enjoy other games too that they've been developing on the side. And you know, same for the PS3 people, where they have to go to PSP in order to enjoy games that have gone to the side too, as well. And just so many friggin' things. I mean, there's so many negative things about gaming right now. It's not even funny. I mean, I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy, but I am. it seems like there's been a lot of downward spirals in the actual gaming industry right now for me to consider, because of the fact that the industry has a great reputation, but it also has a great reputation to be just crap too, because they take these people and they put them together and they make a game, or they put together a system or do electronic stuff, and then when it finally gets out to the it's totally different from what they were actually showing. It's kind of bullshit.
And of course, this isn't something that is new. This concept's been going on since the dawn of video gaming. Look at like games like E.T. and all those horrible Arnold Schwarzenegger-based video games that came to consoles. I'm not counting the actual arcade games. I'm counting more just... I'm only talking about the home
console titles. Last Action Hero.
Yeah, you know how atrocious that was. That was my wake-up call to how bad movie-based video games can be.
Yeah.
But...
Or just how bad games could be. Remember Dolphin or whatever the hell?
Echo the Dolphin?
Yeah, that was god-awful.
Yep. I remember reading recently that they were considering trying to bring Echo back, but...
For what freaking reason? There's no freaking reason to bring that goddamn game back. I mean, the one game that I could probably say to bring back it... Well, a couple games that I have in mind. Jet fucking Moto.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an awesome game to bring back. And not just in this... Oh, we've got a Sega Classic game, you know, blah, 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 or right. PlayStation Classic.
Oh, it's been HD remastered.
Yeah, right. When you play the HD remastered, you still want to puke your guts out from the motion sickness, because you can't establish what's a fucking wall to the sky.
But that being said, the Jet Set Radio HD remaster, that was the right way to do it.
What about Cool Borders?
Cool Borders.
I miss Cool Borders. I mean, SSX has done a good job. Mm-hmm. But they came back, and it wasn't as epic as a comeback. I mean, not everybody enjoyed that game. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it's still just, you know...
It's funny how you just say SSX, because I just brought down my GameCube from the attic and was playing SSX Tricky on it earlier today.
See, that's what I'm saying. That was a fun friggin' game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, there's been... What was it, Freak Style? The motocross game that I used to love
playing. Oh yeah, Freak Style.
That was an awesome game. They had like guys from Metal Militia and all that other stuff, and doing basically what you were doing on SSX, which was like breakdancing on the top of the motorcycle while in the air.
Yeah. Now, if they could do that...
Why didn't they bring that back? Why haven't they brought a lot of shit back?
If they could do that with like the Trials series,
yeah.
If they could do like a Freak Style Trials... When the third person, not a side-scroller, I think that would be an amazing step in the right direction. Granted, keep doing the 2D side-scroller sort of thing you've been doing with the Trials series, but then make this sort of a spin-off series.
Yes.
Like, have Ubisoft see if there's a way you can buy the rights of Freakstyle, call it Trials Freakstyle, Freakstyle 2, Trials Freakstyle 2, and so forth and so on. But it's one of those things where, like, we look at all the games that have come out in consoles, and we look at... Look at all the games that have been coming out every week, and it feels like there's just too much that comes out, not just on consoles, but even on our damn mobile devices. Like, how many games have we downloaded on our phones, and how many games have we downloaded on a regular basis, on a monthly basis? I feel like I get like 9 or 10 games a month just from phones.
Yeah, well, that's the only other thing now that's going on is you have a lot of games that are coming out on your cell phones, your iPads, your tab pads, whatever. But that's the other thing. Like, with my phone right here, my Android phone, I'm able to take my MOGA controller and basically turn it into my own little personal handheld, you know, PSP or 3DS or whatever you want to friggin' call it, because
right.
I can just Bluetooth it and control the game that way. But, I mean, next to the other cool thing that I did was I got the HDMI adapter for my Galaxy S3, because I'm an Android person, and I was able to hook it up to my TV by HDMI. So I was playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City on my TV through my phone. So,
and it looks great on there, too.
It looked pretty good. I mean, there is still some choppy little bases here and there. I'm not going to say it's the best fucking thing ever, but at least the graphics are better than the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Or PlayStation 2, more or less, because that's where it was on. Yeah, but for the most part, I mean, we have had kind of jumps, leaps, and bounds, but I feel like we've been crawling more than we've been jumping.
Mm-hmm.
It's not...
I mean, we need to look forward to what the true future of gaming is. That's why I've been pushing the Oculus Rift so much, because that's basically what we've been craving for in gaming from a first-person perspective.
Well, I've been craving that since the first time I had gotten a chance to try 3D, and, you know, even though it was simple 3D, like floating boxes and shit like that, I had the concept of this would be awesome to, you know, make it even more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, the technology hasn't been there. But I mean, these guys that are basically, I feel like these are those guys working out of a garage, you know?
Yeah,
and
exactly. These are people that have been, that left like the huge companies like Ubisoft and Activision, the EA, created their own companies because they wanted to create stuff that the higher ups over to the other companies were like going, I don't think this is going to be profitable. Let's just make another Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And that's another big thing that we've noticed since these past few years, since we started Boston Bash Brigade, and even back when we started with No Borders, No Race, it's the indie titles that have been making bigger waves than the big AAA publishers and developers.
Although I do have to say, like, you know, from the point of when I was used to, when I was playing, like, Medal of Honor and Call of Duty beforehand, before this whole thing where it caught fire and stuff.
Like the original Xbox and GameCube versions. Right?
No, my PC.
Oh, PC?
PC's fine with me.
Okay.
More or less, that's what I was playing back then. I mean, I did get an Xbox. I did have a couple other things, but I would play those games, like, religiously. I would love to do, you know, storming up the D-Day beach, basically, and just taking on the Nazis that way. That was, I would say that was one of the most epic things I loved playing about those games.
So you're basically playing the first scene from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's what I'm saying is to go through that, you know, that game setup where you were able to get into the history of it, to play the game and stuff like that, that was amazing. I loved it. And then World War II kind of lost its luster, but they kept pushing it when they were doing the back and forth between Modern Warfare and then World at War and then this and that.
Then Black Ops, and then yeah. Now Ghosts is coming out.
Which I don't even know what the hell that's going to, you know, do, but I...
Dogs! It's got dogs!
More or less, my concept is I'm not going to be putting money down on it because, A, I'm broke. B, I don't have any money. C, go back to the first one. I'm broke. So, yeah, I mean, more or less, for me to have, you know, I mean, like, that's the thing. I'm still suffering because of the fact that I wish, you know, I could buy Army of Two. I still haven't been able to play that whole fucking game yet, and I'm dying to buy it. And right now, I think on Amazon it's like $24. Yet I don't have the money to buy it. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know? But that's the thing. That's what I feel like with gaming right now is I've spent so much fucking money towards gaming. I haven't gotten anything back from it really. So.
Well, you got to do what I do, is then once you beat it and you feel like you're not going to play it again, just put it onto, like, half.com and sell it that way. Like, I put a bunch of, like, GameCube titles that I've never touched anymore, and out of, like, 6 or 7 titles I sold, I made, like, $140 out of it.
Yeah, see? I just... That's the thing. It's one of those things where I'm proud of the big pile of games that I have, but it's still not making me any happier or any richer. But
you see, I don't have the room for those big giant collections. That's why I gotta sell the games to make.
Well, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to remove my Bailey bottles from the top of my TV and just put them up there. I'll be happy to just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Make a wall. I've been having to lax myself from drinking so much. Because I've been a good little tubie, trying to lose weight, and trying to be smart, and trying to be good.
And you've been doing a great job with that.
Yeah. Still stuck right now, but, I mean, for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, once in a while, I'll have a beer. I'm not completely new, but it's once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, but I still can't enjoy Bailey's, because it's too fucking expensive.
You see, you were on that subject of creating a new section right where your Bailey's is. Maybe what you can do is make a whole wall of fame of sorts for your game collection. Like, these are your necessity titles that everybody deserves to own.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the most part, with the games that I've collected through these years of, you know, playing from both doing the website, from just leisure gaming and everything that I try to enjoy and stuff like that, or get ruined by my nephews, you know, I try to, like, I look at my setup now and I kind of think it's ridiculous because of the fact I've got a big screen TV still. And, I mean, when I say big screen TV, I'm not talking about, damn, that's a 60-inch, you know, LCD, you know, flat screen. No, I'm talking about, damn, that's a huge bitch. It's a 60-incher that, you know, is widescreen and has 4 feet of depth, and if it falls over on top of it could kill you. Yeah, so more or less, my concept is right now is to do the saving of the space, but yet, you know, I don't have money. Yet again, broke. Because of the fact that I can't afford one of those nice, like, TVs. You know, just the nice little flat TVs that I could throw up on a wall and, you know, maybe downsize the sides of my speakers, put up a couple shelves here and there, stuff like that. That's what I'm trying to do, is simplify my room. But no. Because I had to go with the big fucking TV at the time.
But that big fucking TV was only $150 when you purchased it.
Off Craigslist.
And which was initially, what, $2,000?
Yeah, probably around $2,000 to $3,000 at the time. And the people were pretty awesome. They were just like, we want to get rid of it. And I was like, okay, we'll take it. But, I mean, to go through the years of...
gaming?
It's been kind of a struggle. I mean, literally, We've gone through the whole aspect of, like, slumps. Like, there's...
Great games, bad games.
And as funny as it is, you're wearing the Red Sox shirt. And I feel like there's always the Red Sox slump. Mm-hmm. I mean, this year, they have been doing really good.
Yes.
But...
we know...
After the friggin', you know...
All-Star game.
I want to say within the first couple weeks of that, that's when we're going to see the down slope of all this awesomeness. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I really hope we're all wrong about the slump. But I always see it, you know, that's been one of the biggest issues. Unless, I mean, last year or whatever, the year before was just an absolute just shitstorm. There was no slump. There was just complete negative. But with this aspect, with us being in first place and all this other stuff, you know, I mean, there are a couple issues right now with our, you know, our pitching and stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
But to compare it to what we've dealt with for the past 4 years of the things, it's kind of like that. I mean, in the wintertime, well, all right, let's say this coming fall, how many games are coming out for the Christmas, the holiday season? How many friggin' games?
Let me see.
Tons.
Yeah, tons. We got Grand Theft Auto 5. We got Watch Dogs.
Fuck, I can't even put my money on that. Yeah,
then you got the new consoles too coming out.
Yeah, you got the new consoles coming out too, where people are going to be spending anywhere from $350 to $500, $600. I mean, you know, just to get the game. And also, I want to warn people, don't buy off eBay when the game systems come out. I did it myself when the Xbox, you know, Elite came out and stuff like that. I paid for it through the fucking nose because of the fact that the person stole my money. So we basically had to tell eBay that the person tried to up and run with our money, and we finally got it back after a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I could tell you, if you can go to a store and not get fucking hammered by somebody or killed or pre-order it or do something,
yep,
to get it sent to your house, buy it from GameStop or wherever the hell you could buy it offline and have them send it to your house, not eBay, not Craigslist, not anything like that, otherwise you will be ganked for your money.
Right.
But for the most part, I just feel like the consoles that are coming up right now for the next things, I don't think there's going to be that much of a deal. Like, there's not going to be that big of a deal where people are going to be stabbing one another. Yet again, I hope I'm right about this one.
Yep.
Because it's pretty bad. But
I feel like we become more civilized gamers when it comes to purchasing consoles and games.
Well, I mean, back in, I want to say 2003 to 2004 or something like that. No, 2000. When the hell did the systems come out again? I can't even remember.
Let's see. It was 2005 for Xbox 360 and 2006 Wii and PS3.
So, think about it when Pimp My Ride was going on. Every time somebody was pimping a fucking ride or something like that, What was in the back seat?
PS2.
Exactly. So when people were thinking, motherfucker, you know, the rapper's got it in their fucking back car, the PlayStation 2, I gotta get a PlayStation 2. So they buy up the PlayStation 2. Hey, look, PlayStation 3's coming out. Fuck, I need to buy a PlayStation 3 so I can hook it up into my car or something like that. Or I could, you know, do all this other stuff. Even though that I felt that the PlayStation 3 didn't do as well in the sense of what they produced and threw out there on the market.
At first,
Xbox, same thing. They had all their fuck-ups. I went through like 4 or 5 different Xboxes now. I mean,
I've experienced the Red Ring of Death as well.
But that's the other thing that you have to do is from what we've learned here, we're trying to teach you so when the next stuff comes up, I'm saying don't always buy the first thing that comes out. Let the other fucking idiots do it. They can go ahead and do it, and then when all of a sudden, within the 3-month period or 6-month period that they're playing that game console and stuff like that, chill out with them, and then be there to laugh at them when the fucking system burns out.
You see, I'm doing the smart thing and doing the 3-year warranty when I pick up my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, even still with that, I feel like that's probably, you know, it's a good idea, but yet, I'd rather wait until you're past the first generation of the system. So they could work at least some of the kinks out. But right. I mean, that's the thing with Xbox. They never worked out that, the Red Ring of Death. It's like, why would you ever put something of the Red Ring of Death? Somebody in the first part of their mind had to figure out to put a green light in that fucking part of the system. So whenever something bad happened, they put the green light on. You know, I mean, the red light on. It's like,
yes.
Somebody did it. Somebody figured out that this was going to fail.
Why didn't they just use that money to figure out, hey, how can it not fail?
Yeah, how can we figure out how to put it, you know, solder that chip on so the heat from the actual system won't, you know, desolder itself and then cause it to have to be sent in?
You know?
I mean, it'd save them so much more money in the long run sending, you know, the equipment back and forth to the actual customer than, hey, you know, spending a couple more bucks on making it so the system actually works. But that's just me.
Oh, you're right to say that.
Yeah, but that's the way that the whole system works. It's like selling a car. If you sold the perfect car, right? The ideal car. The only thing that you would need to change on the fucking thing would be the tires, the wipers, washer fluid, put gas in the fucking thing, and that's it. You know, a couple little other things here and there, the wear and tear things, because that's the same thing with my truck. My truck got the shit kicked out of it, you know, and I'd have to go and repair it. That's the thing. Found out that the model year that my truck was had a lot of issues, more or less with the struts and the holding of up of the right front wheel. So that's where one of those things was. Why the fuck didn't they develop something better so I could have just bought it aftermarket and put it in place? Nope. It's just one of those things that they didn't do that.
Let's see what the first test monkeys experience with this version, and then we'll go back and fix it.
And then 5 years from now, we'll go and set it up so that car's a lot better and it doesn't have that issue. Mm-hmm. Or we'll still have the issue, but we won't give a fuck about it.
And that's the thing, too, is like it's only Microsoft and Sony that have gone through it. Only Nintendo has never had this sort of issue when it comes to their consoles.
I think they've had one or two issues. I've heard that there has been a Wii fail here and there, but it's not on a massive quantity that the Xbox or PS3 did.
Right. But I still have my Nintendo up in my attic. It still works like it's brand new.
Yeah, well, that was because that was quality, not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
This now is quantity over quality, because we gotta get... There's... How many billions of people now on the fucking planet Earth?
7.
Exactly. So, if you want to get a good, let's say 20% of that population, a video game, you're going to have to make a shitload of video game systems and video games just to fill that need, or the void, as I would call it. Just, and that's the thing that we've dealt with these past 4 years. It's like, it's crazy how many millions of people love playing video games, doing all this other stuff. We'll put money towards like games like Madden, Call of Duty.
Every
year that they keep coming out with shit.
I mean, I won't lie. I'm a victim of always buying those Call of Duty games every year. And And sometimes I don't wind up beating them.
I think we should have, like, you know, Video Games Anonymous or some shit like that, because, I mean, I think a lot of us fall victim to it. You know, that we want to play that game because of how awesome we've heard it is,
mm-hmm.
all this other stuff, and we don't want to be the person that's left out. It's kind of like a...
yeah, that's what happened when I went and bought Modern Warfare 3.
It's like a social norm or something like that, that you have to have that. It basically... There's, like, certain mm-hmm. games that when you bought, like, bought the Xbox 360, Forza came with it. You had to have Forza or Amazing Spider-Man, or you had to have it with the actual game system, but you couldn't get rid of the fucking thing to save your life if you wanted to. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, the game systems and everything that we've dealt with through the years of doing this podcast and stuff like that has kind of opened up our eyes, but hopefully we've opened up some of your eyes to
and
see
and in
what
return, we
on.
Hope we opened up the eyes of these developers when we point out the flaws of their programs, and then they go back and actually go and make it better in future installments and shit.
Yeah, but I mean, even with that said, I just, like, just recently, which has been kind of one of my downers right now, is Grid 2.
Yeah.
I mean, even my nephew, who loved playing the original Grid with me all the time, he went and played my Grid game, and he said, "What the hell happened?" I mean, I was kind of in the same boat with him. I was just like, yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. You can't drift as well as you used to. You can't have the car lean sideways and just drive, you know, drift down the side of a hill.
It's one of those situations where if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So why did you have to go and change things in Grid 2 that were working so perfectly in the first Grid?
Now, the only thing I have to say is the probably what had to change was they had to rebuild the whole sucker over again.
Because it's a new engine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the new engines, or what drives, as we call it an engine, but what it is, it drives the actual game. Like graphics, you know, all the stuff that needs to work in the environment to make the game go. And for what they had to do to transfer it over, probably didn't work. So it just made it a totally different game. You know, I probably didn't have any of the same people that worked on the first one. I mean, because especially you went from, what was it? I think you went from dirt to Grid. And then Dirt 2, and then 3.
And then Rally.
And then you had Formula 1 Racing, and then whatever other combat games mm-hmm. that they were doing on the side. And it just effed with everything that they were doing, so.
It's kind of like what happened with the Need for Speed series, too.
Well, that was the thing. I remember playing, I mean, when I was younger, I loved playing Need for Speed. But that was the only other thing was, is when I was younger, I was able to go to Costco, and they always had those racks on the side where, like, it had all the PC computer games and all that other stuff to pick and choose out of. I remember buying, like, the full-on pack of, like, Need for Speed and playing the shit out of it. Like, there was a whole, like, bunch of old PC games. I used to play the hell out of it. Loved it to death because it was a great game. It was so awesome to race cars and run from the cops and all this other stuff. Even though you couldn't be the cops at that time. They go and come back, you know, and they started producing all these other Need for Speed titles, and they were okay. Need for Speed Shift. And then when they finally got to Hot Pursuit. Was it Hot Pursuit?
Yeah, Hot Pursuit, because they bought... Because then Criterion Games, who were making the Burnout series, decided to start working on Need for Speed Spirits.
Another fucking race game I loved. And it's gone. Because they basically effed that up. I feel like they have to up the last one. But when...
That downloadable one, where you have to, like, just... Where you just make things go boom.
Well, no. That crash thing was so stupid. But, yeah, that was another flawed mistake for them to do, especially with David Hasselhoff on the trailer. You know, going from Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, and stuff like that, to the next, you know, not the Hot Pursuit, but...
Most Wanted.
Most Wanted and all the other ones... It's just not the same thing. I mean, I don't know how you go from switching that up.
And I know this new one, Rivals, which I still don't understand how that's going to work out.
I don't
know. And I was there at the presser. I still don't know how it's going to be different from the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain games, like the recent Driver San Francisco, that was an awesome game.
Yeah, that was a great concept.
Not everybody enjoyed it, but I know that was one of the games I enjoyed. Just... there's few racing games like, what was that other one from BlackRock Studios? No, the Disney one.
Split Second.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. My brain is fucked up. This is what video games have
done. Then they also made Pure as well, which is a great ATV game.
Yes, it's a great racing game, but it's not like... I mean, I remember you were able to do tricks here and there, but it wasn't that vast. And then when they started going into like other games, like God, I can't even remember half those games because they just weren't worth remembering them. It felt that, you know, some of the games I liked. I mean, from when I was younger, playing like Jeremy McGrath, like racing, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. To going to Freakstyle, to Pure, to, well, ATV actually. ATV on PlayStation 2 was fun.
Yeah.
And then go over to Pure on Xbox 360 and go through that kind of setup.
And then we had Nailed.
Nailed was good, yet again, it didn't really have the trick set up on it.
Right. Well, they brought that back when they made that pseudo sequel, Mad Racers, for Ubisoft, but it just didn't have that magical feel that the first Nailed had.
That's just one of those things that if you're going to bring something back, do it all the way. I mean, exactly like what I said with the Starship Troopers movie. Mm-hmm. The original Starship Troopers movie, amazing. They put all the money that they wanted into that movie. They did great. Second one comes out, it's like if you crapped in your hand and tried to eat it and think, all right, this is a chocolate sundae. It's so mind-numbing that they were able to go to that. And then the third one came out and kind of got a little bit better, but it was like drinking your own urine. So to go from one spectrum to the other, it's god-awful. If you want to save us some time and money and not have to spend all this crap and put it towards something that's useful, like, you know, making like Duke Nukem Forever a little bit better the next time,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be one of those things.
I wouldn't be too surprised if Gearbox does announce something along those lines when it comes to the next Duke Nukem.
I don't think they will because of how much they failed.
Well, remember, it wasn't Gearbox who made it. It was the original guys, Take-Two Studios.
Wasn't it 3D Realms or something?
3D Realms, thank you. 3D Realms that made it. They just picked it up so they can actually release it to the people. But if Gearbox went in and made their own Duke Nukem game from scratch, didn't hire any outside sources like when they fucked up with Aliens Colonial Marines, just do what they've been doing with the Borderlands series, but in Duke Nukem Realms, then I think they could save the series.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of those things where my next-door neighbor, he was awesome. He taught me a couple things about computers and all that other stuff. We used to chill over his place, play Max Payne 1 and 2, and Duke Nukem, Counter-Strike, all that other stuff. I mean, even with hanging with Cousin Tay, he used to play Counter-Strike and chill out at his place, play Command & Conquer. It just seems like a lot of the games that we used to know and love and stuff like that have gone through this de-evolution. And
they've gone through the ringer.
They've gotten put through the ringer, but what hasn't now? I mean, come on, most of the movies that are coming out, they're not really original. I mean,
yeah.
Except for like Inception and, you know, The Dark Knight and all of those stuff, but it's based on... They're able to do a lot more stuff with it because of the fact that they have the technology now to do it. But, I mean, if we were to have originally had this technology back when they originally were like, hey, I got all these movie ideas, you know, let's go and put it together. That would be one of the better things, is because of the fact of the original stuff back then would have made the movie so much better.
And, yeah.
But the only problem is Hollywood would be sunk right now because of the fact that they don't know what else to do to make movies.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened with The Lone Ranger this past week. That was a major bomb.
It tanked?
Yeah. It tanked.
Damn, I wanted to go see it.
Well,
especially because I wanted to make fun of Armie Hammer. I'm sorry, but Armie Hammer.
But you can still see it. I don't think it's going to be leaving the theaters for another, like, 4 weeks.
No,
but
it got but when beat we out. Go and see it, we're going to go and watch it just like we watched Superman in the small-ass theater.
Yeah, that's probably it. But at least Despicable Me 2 did very well, and which is a film I really, really want to go see, but no one wants to take me.
What movie?
Despicable Me 2. Yeah. The little yellow minions. But then this coming week, we've got Pacific Rim,
yeah,
which looks awesome. Then the following week, you got two films with Mary Louise Parker in it. You got R.I.P.D. And Red 2.
I'm just, you know, it flabbergasts me that these actors are in, you know, actresses are able to do multiple movies. I mean, come on, Rock this year had like four or five different movies out of
it. It was like every other week we were reviewing a Rock movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, for the most part, to get back on topic about the last 4 years of dealing with the Boston Bastard Brigade to basically to the last 7 years of dealing with No Borders Race to Boston Bastard Brigade.
Yep.
We have definitely seen a lot of stuff, and we've gone through a lot of stuff. We've gone places, you know. It's
chatted with people. We've seen how much heart a lot of people put their work into. Even like I said, the small indie developers, who I place more faith into creating video games than I could with any of these bigger, like multi-million, multi-billion dollar companies.
Yeah. But I just feel bad sometimes for the little guys because they're not able to produce as much stuff as they'd like to, or, you know.
Right.
Not have to live in their mom's basements, or, you know.
I mean, that's what's probably going to be happening with Armacrog, which I funded on Kickstarter. He said that there's a good chance that only a third of the ideas that we have for this game are going to make it into the final product because of how expensive it would be to do a full game. But on the plus side, if you were to do just this one third for this specific game, and if you make a lot of money, you can use the other two thirds to either do one giant game or two sequels.
Yeah, or do add-ons or do stuff like that. So yeah, they could do it that way. Or you could do it like how they did like the Walking Dead series part there.
Mm-hmm.
They broke it up, Back to the Future.
Yeah, you know, stuff what like Telltale that. Games has been doing. Which I think
Telltale Games, Telltale Heart. See where you're going with that.
What do you mean?
There's
nothing underneath these floorboards.
Yeah, right. Dead bodies everywhere. Anyways. Yeah, for the games and
movies, we can even
movies,
talk
movies, everything. I don't even know what would be my top movies right now or my top video games because it's just all bending together. When you said seven, I went, fuck.
Yeah.
It's been 7 years since we started this. It's crazy.
I know. It's amazing. And we've still got a lot to cover. It's ever changing. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the future brings to us. Even if some of the future stuff is going to be total shit, I'm looking forward to all the golden stuff that's going to be coming out later. Games like Outlast and Daylight.
God, we need to make a golden egg segment or something like that. The goose that laid the golden egg. Because there's only very few people that can lay golden eggs for us.
Yeah. Well, it's our seal of approval that we tried to do in the past, but hasn't quite worked out, but I think I can figure something out properly.
Yeah.
Make a wall of fame, a hall of fame.
Yeah, we could probably do that for movies and video games and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we can move on now.
Okay. So, let me ask you something. How often do we give games, like, that when we first played and we played through them were terrible? But then later on, something happens, like a patch would come out, or a good update, and suddenly, something, what made the game terrible in the first place, is gone, and has now been made better. How often? Give me like a percent number of how often that ever happens.
0.0009%.
0.0? That is a very, very small percentile.
I mean, literally, how many times have we given... I mean, I like to give things second chances. Hell, I like to give them third, fourth, fifth chances. But I can't recall a friggin' game that I've bought or anything along the lines that I put in, you know, money to or a coin slot, you know, whatever, that has come back, that has added a patch on the top of it to make it any better. I mean, I've dealt with this countless amount of times. I mean, from playing GameSpy back in the day on PC to play some of the games online. You're waiting for a fucking patch to fix the friggin' thing that they fucked up on last week so you could get back to playing the actual game.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was back in the day when I didn't have anything else better to do. There was high school, there was college, and all this other stuff. So, but for the most part, you know, they, I feel that I haven't found a game that I could actually say that it was worth waiting for, to, like, wait for a patch or anything such as that. I mean,
Or make all the bad stuff go away.
Or the only other thing is like, let's say Sniper Elite V2. I love the hell out of that game. I mean, the online play was a little iffy. You know, it was hard to find people to play with and all this other stuff. But they go and create a an add-on or patch or whatever you want to call it, and they only kept the PC. So the zombie Nazi thing that they did was PC-based only. I haven't seen it for Xbox or PS3. That's one of those things that pisses me off. It's like one of those things where I don't have the computing power, so I can money go and play to, the...
Or the money to get the actual PC version, or your own fucking PC.
Yeah. I mean, I was almost Frankensteining a PC the other day, and it just didn't work out. I went from trying to work one of the Dells into one of my other towers, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
It sucks. So, but for the most part, I have to say, I can't, there's nothing in my brain that I could say that has been worth it.
Okay, because I did actually experience one of those 0.00009% phenomenons that you basically were talking about with one game in particular. And it was the 2D fighter called Skullgirls.
I remember this.
This is like the animated one. It was all hand-drawn. It was kind of like anime-inspired. And it looked really cool. And I liked playing the game when I demoed it at PAX East and at E3. But between those conventions and then the final product, something fucked up really badly. Mm. Like, this was one of the games that I named one of last year's worst titles. Because it had the impossible-to-defeat AI, small amount of characters for a $15 downloadable title, and just terrible online servers. I remember one character in particular, Miss Fortune, which was like a cat-girl-style fighter. She was programmed somehow to be so difficult that most of the attacks most of the battles that I had, I couldn't lay in one punch or kick. It would just say, fight, and all of a sudden she would just pummel on top of me and just beat the shit out of me without me having to swipe once.
Oh, lovely.
And this was even on sleepwalking mode, which was like declared the very easy mode.
You know what? That easy mode shit is bull. And you know, how many times did you play the original Mortal Kombat on Sega, and you put it on easy, and you got your ass handed to you every fucking time?
Dude, it still happens with the Mortal Kombat trilogy thing that I have for Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah,
I
downloaded that Xbox Live Arcade trilogy thing too, and every time you put it on easy, you get your ass handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
They were backwards.
Yep. But the reason why I'm giving Skullgirls the second chance is because they came out with a patch like a couple months ago, after much delays due to the size of it, because Microsoft has this rule, you can only do a maximum of 4 megabytes or 10 megabytes for your patches. This one was a 300 megabyte patch, and it came out on PSN with no problem. So there was my first mistake, getting it on Xbox Live, not on the PSN version. So when this patch came out, the game loaded a lot faster, the servers are stronger, so playing an online game was very easy, not to mention little to no lag to be found. I see no, like, pausing or freezing with the characters in between punches and kicks. There are plans to add new characters to it, and now, thankfully, the AI is now programmed as the way you have the difficulty set. You play it on easy, the game is easy, but with a gradual, you know, sort of raising difficulty with each battle, like a good fighter should be. So, one of the first things I tried was actually try to go against Miss Fortune, who, as I mentioned, was the one character I could never beat in any of the story mode or arcade modes.
Yeah.
And, fortunately, I was able to kick her ass in 20 seconds.
Yay. But so that's the whole thing, is did they fix it to the proper extent that it gave you a challenge and not give, you know, made it too easy for you?
Yep, because like I said, the difficulty rises gradually, especially when it comes to the final boss battle. Really? Which took me 30 minutes still to finally beat.
30 minutes?
Yeah, I decided to put a stopwatch for this final boss battle, and then after losing so many times, I lost count of that, so I put in the stopwatch, and it took me 30 minutes to defeat the final boss, after trying to figure out what the strategy was to defeat her.
Bastards.
But no, that's a good thing, because...
No, bastard, 30 minutes is too long. Just kidding.
But no, you know what I mean. They actually made it so the game increased in difficulty as the game progressed, instead of, fuck you... Here's this one character, you can't defeat her.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That was kind of like that whole thing where I was playing the Mortal Kombat game, and Darkheart took over my game because I was trying to beat, not Goro, but what's the other guy from Annihilation there?
The one with, like, the...
Skull Mask and...
Oh, Shao Kahn.
Was it Shao Kahn?
What is Shao Kahn?
Whatever the hell
it is. Yeah, Shao Kahn.
It's not even worth my brain power to remember the character's names right now. But that was the thing, is I got stuck on this because of the fact that I wasn't able to do the strategy thing, which was basically lay down and wait for him to shoot stuff over you, run over, hit him a couple times, and then go back into crouch position. It pissed me off, and then I got the controller taken out of my hand, and I never had to play. I finished the rest of the Mortal Kombat game. I was pissed.
Yeah.
So... I still gotta beat that fucking game.
But going back to Skullgirls, I'm very happy that they've actually fixed this game so it's playable, it's better, and they're going to be adding new content to it. Like, when I graded it initially, I gave it like a 4.8 out of 10. Which is pretty low for my standards.
Yeah, wicked low. I don't think I've heard you really put it down that low for a 10 spot.
Yeah. But with all these fixes, right now I can probably boost it up to like a 7.7. Because that's how much better it is. I'll give it an 8 once they started adding new characters to it.
Yeah.
But right now, 7.7. Because right now, still the minimal amount of characters that are available to play is still low for what they're asking for.
How much did that cost?
$15.
Fuck.
Which, you know, it's funny that we say, again, this is going way back when. Remember when we were paying like $50, $60 for that Sega Genesis Mortal Kombat game with 8 characters in it?
That and Power Rangers and all the other
games. We weren't raising our fists going, $60, this isn't
that.
We're going, this isn't enough characters. No, it's $60 for all these 8 characters. This is great. But now we've grown in an age where... We want quality and quantity at the same time.
Yeah. And more isn't always better, but we always like more for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like more chocolate to make me fat.
I think I can help you out with that after this.
God damn it, I don't want to be fat. I'm just saying. Okay, give me some chocolate.
So, why don't we talk about going back to a whole racing aspect. You weren't too happy with Grid 2. But there was the demo of Gran Turismo 6, which is a game that's going to be coming out later this year on PS3. Why they didn't just make it for PS4 because it's coming out at around the same time, I don't know. Maybe it's going to deal with Drive Club.
It didn't want to waste the effort and the time and all of the shit because it's just not worth it.
Probably.
In my opinion, it's just not worth it. I mean, that's the thing. I used to like, I think I have for PS3 Gran Turismo 3? I think it was 3. And I loved the hell out of that game. I loved doing, like, Le Mans and all that other stuff. And it was a great game. And it's just gone to shit now. I mean, it's just... See, I just don't think they get in the concept of how you're supposed to kind of get the person into the game. And, of course, I'm going to use the game that, you know, I kind of don't want to use right now, but Grid.
Yeah.
God damn it.
The original Grid.
The original Grid, not Grid 2. Grid 2, okay, still has the capabilities of making you feel like you're going really fast, even when you're sitting still. This game, for them to throw you in a Nissan Leaf, I mean, yes, you got to kind of get used to the concept of playing the game, but the fucking thing was moving so slow, I'll just be like, wow, if I wanted to buy this car in real life, I'd rather fall on a sword. Or at least, you know, take a bus or something like that to where I'd have to go instead of going this slow-ass car. I mean, I think the Leaf is actually supposed to be like a kind of hybrid car or some shit like that. So to race around in that was kind of dull. And then they did give you the chance to do the 30RZ or 30Z or whatever the hell that was, the Nissan. And
yeah, the 370Z.
370Z, thank you. The 370Z is a fast friggin' car. And in real life, that thing, it would turn your head in 2 seconds because of the fact it can whip by you. It's just, it's a fast car. It's a smooth-looking car. I mean, I don't know if I've been watching too much Top Gear, but when you go and watch those fuckers on there, and they're moving, and, I mean, it's not even camera actions. They're just, the guy is standing on the side of a field, and you're watching the car whip by him. It's like, what the hell were they thinking when they put this together? I mean, I know it's just a demo, but if I was to actually play the literal game, and I paid money, and it ended up being just like the demo, I would have gone to the company and just said, give me my money back. This is bullshit.
Because you want more from it.
I want more, yeah.
You want the whole...
I want some goddamn adrenaline-pumping action. I don't... I mean, okay, I like realism. I love realism. I like the concept that I wish I could take, you know, a whole seat, like, take an actual racing seat, plop that on the ground, put the piping together, hold up a 3-TV setup so you could get peripheral set up and drive the fuck out of the thing. But yet, when you're trying to do this game, you'd be so bored that you'd fall asleep on the steering wheel.
Well, that's the thing about games like this. That's why they're called racing sims.
No.
It's simulating a real thing. The real setup. I mean, can you really imagine a race that happens in Grid happening in real life?
Yes.
You can.
I can. It's called X Games. It happens. You can watch it on TV. I mean, I could actually see them physically doing the WSR, basically, if they wanted to do it.
Okay. Well, you see, for me, I feel like Gran Turismo in recent memory has been more focused on being more, like, I don't want to say fancy or elegant when it comes to the racing.
It's an iPhone or some shit right there.
Yeah, it's the iPhone of racers. And as an owner of an iPhone, I can tell you it looks great, it works well, but I know it's not for everybody. People would rather get something like what you have with the Droid, which would probably be the Grid of phones.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had the S4. The S4 looks sexy. But I mean, for the most part, the graphics, they're pretty fair. I mean, the trees look a little shitty.
The trees look shitty. But
the
grass looks
shitty. The other thing is the racing line thing. That's a killer.
There is an option to turn that off.
Well, not only that. I mean, it's one of those things when you're trying to follow the racing line or something like that, and it tells you that red line starts to accumulate because you're going too fast towards a corner. It doesn't really help you. I mean, because I just felt like I couldn't find the handbrake fast enough or do the actual brakes. Because if you're trying to go into a turn and you want to kind of do a little drift,
yep,
that'd be the way to do it.
I mean, that's why I prefer games where you can have, like, either the arcade style of racing or, in the case of this, where with the Gran Turismo series, where you need a wheel peripheral to actually play it properly.
I mean, this is the other thing is that I think in that game, with what we were playing, you're able to actually go into the seat, right? You're able to sit there and actually play. That's exactly what I was talking about. I was actually talking about a whole seated system with a wheel and everything. But I'm saying, is that, like, when I played the new Grid 2, they don't have a thing where you're actually sitting in the seat. They have one kind of like that. If you were sitting in the windshield, basically, to you know, get that view, or up on the front part of the
hood.
This
one does have that sort of setup where it looks like you are sitting behind the wheel.
Which, you know, that's another downfall of me, where I do like games where you're able to actually sit in the actual car seat and do it, but a lot of the games lately that deal with racing are either the third-person view of the car from the back, you know, close up, back a little bit further back, and then there's the front, basically, where you don't see anything, but you're basically you're plastered onto the front part of the car, or they move it back where you're on top of the hood, or they move it back where you're on the windshield, and then back up to the top again, and it just doesn't it doesn't give you the best angles. But even when you're sitting in the car, and you know, the car, you know, from the seat and stuff like that, doesn't always give you the best angle.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, when you're trying to go and take that drift and stuff like that, it's usually best to be up on the top and back, so you can actually see what's around you, so you can lead the car into what it needs to be.
Right. But when you're behind the wheel, sometimes you don't quite see that, and then that's when you fuck up.
Yes. Yes, you do. Like, but I feel like if I was able to do that with a steering wheel in a car, you know, in the racing setup and all that other, you know, I would be able to do it.
Right. Which is why, like, when I did my thing about Drive Club versus the new Forza Motorsport 5, I didn't have a good time with Drive Club because of the way its controls were set up, and because of it being the whole racing sim setup, it was really difficult for me to actually find myself being on the road. But then, when I went and tried to demo the Forza Motorsport 5, I was next in line, and then the dude was like, "Hey, do you want to go and try it on the whole wheel peripheral setup?" And I'm like, "No. Fuck yeah, I do."
Where'd you come from?
So when I played it on there with the Forza, I had more fun playing it on there because I felt like I was turning when I really needed to. And I wasn't crashing into walls like I was in Drive Club. And in Gran Turismo 5. But I will say here that I feel like I did a lot better job with the driving in Gran Turismo 6 with this demo than I did with Gran Turismo 5, because there's a whole sort of strategy you need to learn when it comes to racing in those sorts of games. You gotta know when to let off the gas, and you gotta know when to brake. You gotta know when to make that turn properly.
Yeah, but you know the people that only have that driving setup where they're able to sit their ass down and use the steering wheel and stuff like that. Those are the really, really rich people. Those are the ones that you see on, like, Counting Cars or whatever the fuck it is, and they go and say, "Oh yeah, you know, we built this awesome, awesome Dodge Charger or something like that, and it has all the stuff we put into it. We found it originally, and we bought it for like $5,000, and then we flipped it, and we got it up to $30,000. We want $40,000 for the fucking thing." And the person goes in and does a negotiation and somehow they get $35,000 for it, and it's in a fucking recession. How the hell does that happen? How do people have the money to be like, "Oh, hold on, let me just pull it out of my ass. There's $35,000.
Sorry for the poo stains."
Yeah, sorry, there's a little crap on it, but my shit don't stink. I mean, it boggles my mind.
I know. But it's one of those things where, like, if Nintendo can take their wheel peripheral, which costs, like $5 to put into your Wiimote, and make that work so well with all their racing games, why can't Sony and Microsoft do the same thing?
Okay, I can say that Xbox, because I bought the actual power steering wheel thing, I got a bad deal with it. It was just bad.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't
Then there's the other one. There's the wireless wheel racer that the Xbox has. Garbage. Remember playing that at the actual at Best Buy?
Oh my god! That was just terrible!
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's either too sensitive or it doesn't give any feedback, so like when you're trying to do the racing and all that other stuff, the power steering aspect, I mean, that's the thing. I think I broke the power steering on it because I was so strong, because I was jerking the wheel to turn it so fast to make my car drift in whatever game I was playing at the time. I broke it at the thing. Sadly.
Yeah.
But yet, it's one of those things where you got, if you want the best thing, you got to fork over the freaking money for it,
right?
And hope it doesn't.
But what I'm saying is, why is it that you don't have to do that with all the Nintendo titles? I mean, we were playing the Sonic Racing one on the Wii U, and that had the steering being sort of set up that worked pretty well.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting setup. But that's the thing, they actually have people that are experts in doing that kind of shit. I mean, I'm not saying that Xbox didn't get that, and saying that PS3 didn't get it, but Nintendo got the better people to take care of that kind of thing, because they were like, we're going to do motion shit. We're going to make you actually get up off your seat and do shit. Except for the new Wii controller. You really don't get up anymore.
In some games I do that, especially when I'm trying to search for items and shit, like the new Lego City Undercover game.
Or the Zombie U game.
Yep, or the Zombie U game.
Where you gotta, like, go around the room and look at shit. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, the next gaming system, like, that, okay. You know what? How about this one? I got this one. Remember when they were doing Project Natal?
Yes!
The whole video on that aspect of showing the people playing the game where the controller, you know, was your body, and you're sitting there with the wheel and stuff like that, you know, you're moving your arms around like you're driving a car, but not only that, your foot was able to be read to, you know, do the acceleration. That shit never happened.
Nope.
I can't recall a game that ever happened that...
That never happened? Remember when they were saying, hey, you could chat with your friends with video, and you could do shopping on there, and you could check out what the clothes would look like on you before you purchase them?
I think they were more or less thinking that chat roulette.
Yeah.
It'd be like, hey, look, one of my friends, penis. One of my friends, penis. Oh, I don't think I want to see anything anymore. I'm good. I'm going to go hang myself now in the closet. It's a major fuck up when they're trying to do this. Like, that's what I feel. Like, it's one of those things that you have, like, saying you have to go to Mad Catz or you have to go to Logitech.
Yeah.
You have to go to them in order to get the proper, you know, steering wheel system, or you have to get a, you know, better controller or something like that for that system.
Or like,
not
the
saying
arcade
Mad
sticks.
Catz is always the best. Logitech isn't always the best. I mean, you have to kind of pick and choose, but also sometimes their more expensive stuff is a little bit better. Except check the reviews.
Yep.
Check it. Otherwise, you're going to be like, why is this not working? And then you go and check it on Google or Bing or whatever the frick you use for a search engine. And you go, wow, I wish I knew that beforehand. Apparently, the stick falls off the controller at some point. You know, it's
yep.
one of those things that you gotta make sure you pay attention to what the hell you're buying. Otherwise,
exactly. That's the important thing. And to see what they've been doing on Gran Turismo 6, I mean, granted, yeah, it's just a demo. It's not the, it's not going to be the final product, but
I'm telling you, if it is, it's going to be kind of shitty.
Yep. Especially with the PS4 coming out and Drive Club at the same time. I mean, it's one of those why bother sort of situations. Why did they go and make this for PS3? Why couldn't they make this a launch title and just nix this whole Drive Club thing?
Because they're idiots.
Yeah.
Aha.
There. Let there be light.
Yes. We got darkness over here.
So for, I can probably give the demo for Gran Turismo, from my perspective of Gran Turismo 6, a 4. I'll just give it a 4.
Here.
Be your negative Nancy. Fine.
I'll give it a 1.4.
Okay. Because
There was somebody that actually had a pulse that was actually building the game. So I'll give it to them.
Okay.
Poor fuckers.
So, I know we're kind of running short on time. Did you want to talk about Deadpool, or do you want to talk about Bruins?
You already talked about Deadpool, so we're good on that part. So we can talk about Bruins.
Okay, so major changes in rosters, trades.
All right, so actually, an update that just happened. This is Wednesday. Usually we do Saturday, but whatever. We don't care. I knew about this going on anyways, but anyways, let's talk about the Raskinator, the Tuca of the Rask. This beautiful bastard right here, I mean, I know that we lost the Stanley Cup and everything like that. A lot of people blame him for it. I don't blame him. I feel that, you know, some people on the team got a little bit tired. The puck got away from them, and they were able to score on stupid, stupid reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be a brick wall and still let one by, basically, when you're playing hockey here.
Yep.
But I have to say that we signed up Tuukka, which I haven't heard this kind of like a you know, set up beforehand, where they have an 8-year contract out, and that's going to be to the 2020-21 season, 2020-21 season. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
And it's going to be $7 million each year, which if you do 7 times 8, that equals $56 million. That's a lot of green.
That is a lot of green.
Now, the only thing
now, usually when you hear something like that, it's like, oh, just to play hockey. Well, hockey is one of the most complex sports in the world.
Well, yeah, not only that, I mean, you get injured or anything like that, you're going to be out for a while. I mean, look at, I believe it was Campbell who got his leg broke. I mean, he's going to be out for a wee bit. But hopefully his leg's going to be stronger than ever when he comes back.
Just put a bunch of metal in there.
No, we don't need to turn him into Wolverine. It should heal on its own, and hopefully it makes it better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is an impressive amount of money for him to make for that long. I mean, especially because of the fact that he was in the shadow of Tim Thomas. And for him to come out like this and do as well as he did this year, and then to get a contract like he did, is amazing, especially for a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that, we've got... let's see, we've got a prospect here.
Prospect.
I'm not even sure. I don't even know what's going on here, man.
We lost Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, we lost Seguin. But I think it might be for a better reason. I mean, he wasn't really producing as well as we wanted him to. I mean, he did good, and then he kind of dropped off. And wasn't he the one that was actually having, like, he wasn't showing up to practices on time, or he wasn't doing certain things?
No, that was Tim Thomas that was doing that.
No. This was recent, actually. So, for the most part, you know, they definitely left, you know, kind of left that in the thing. I believe the one person that we were thinking about, I'm not sure if it's him, not Erickson. Maybe it's Jerome Ignala. This guy, I guess, he was going to be coming to us originally. He was going to be traded, and the trade deadline happened, but he stayed with the Penguins.
Yep.
Look how good that, you know, worked for him. But apparently now, because of that whole thing, he's coming to the Bruins. So, yeah. That's going to be great.
I hope so.
I hope so. I hope he doesn't cause too many problems, you know, because he was playing against us, now he's for us. It's like, pick a side, jackass. But apparently he picked us after it was too late.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not seeing much of anything else here. Wait. Oh, that's bad.
What's bad?
Yamir Yager interested in joining the Hurricanes next season, agent says. That's not cool.
Which one was that player again?
Yager. I called him the Wolverine.
Oh, him.
Remember the one with the beard and everything like that? Yeah.
Right. Well, they all had beards by the end of the season.
No. I'm talking about the cool Wolverine beard. For fuck's sake. No, that was the thing. He was originally... he was on, I think, 92, 93, somewhere around there. He played for the Penguins, and they won the championship. And he was with Mario Lemieux and all them, and it was impressive how good he was. And then coming up to this point, it kind of just didn't happen.
Right.
He wasn't able to produce as well, but I think we were trying to ask him to come back, but it didn't happen. So, if he goes to look to play for the Hurricanes, I don't know, they can go and have him, more or less, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's been playing hockey for 20 years, so...
Yeah, he's going to be 42 next year.
Yeah, we probably need some new blood anyway, which is what we hopefully that this trade will give us.
Oh, yeah, we've got... But that was the other funny thing that I felt was we traded yet again with the Dallas, and we got one of the players back that we traded in the first place. It's like, what are we thinking? Why? Why are we doing that?
The switcheroo?
Yeah.
So anything else going on in the sports world?
No, I think I'm done.
You think you're done?
Red Sox are doing what they can to stay where they're at, but
mm-hmm. Celtics are being restructured. That, which is still an understatement.
We're so fucked. We are so fucked. I mean, literally, if you're listening to this right now, I'm not going to lie. The Celtics and maybe the Bruins and, you know, the Patriots, Red Sox are doing what they're doing, but I'm saying right now, for those teams, they are trying to rebuild, and we are going to be struggling and fucked for a little while.
Didn't we try rebuilding another team last year, and it just blowing up on our faces?
Yeah, that was the Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing.
First time ever we were in last place for so many years.
This season has, you know, gotten better because we actually were able to get somebody in there that was competent to kick ass and, you know, break his leg off at the kneecap at the guys, you know, that needed it. Mm-hmm. They got rid of the bad people that they needed to get rid of and kept the good ones and, you know, kept the game going and, you know, got rid of the guys that were drinking, you know, drinking beer and eating fried chicken, you know.
Or drinking fried chicken and eating beer.
Or, yeah, exactly.
They were just putting it in a blender.
Yeah, they were just doing it that way.
And then they were just...
They're hardcore. They were just like...
They were making beersicles.
You know, I think if the boneless KFC had came out that year, they would have been even more fucked. Yeah, so for the most part, yeah, to have such a young coach for the Celtics, I think he's 36, somewhere uh-huh. around there.
He's from Butler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Butler University.
And what's Butler University done for, you know, college?
I've never even heard of fucking Butler University.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're
kind of... to be honest with you, when I read from Butler University, there's a university for maids and butlers, and I had this sort of high-tech to combat Butler vision in my head.
Jesus. Yeah, well, that's when you... What do you think about it? It was like, oh, I went to Brown University. You went to shit university?
Well, since you went to Butler University, would you get us all beers? Yeah. They're just in the room over there. And put on this suit.
Yeah. Thank you for being our bitch. Go over there and stand in the corner. So, yeah, for the most part, the Celtics, it's kind of... I mean, I hope the guy's able to get the fundamentals into these people's heads that they should already have. He should be already able to play on their aspects. There's a lot of people coming in. They've got newbies, you know, that are coming in and stuff like that. Hopefully they make the cut. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping everything works out better. But yet again, I don't think the ticket sales are going to be too freaking pretty at the Garden. They're going to be fucking expensive for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
Because of the fact that people are, you know, if they weren't paying attention to the news, which a lot of people don't. If they're not paying attention to the news and they go, oh, I'm going to go buy season tickets for the Celtics and blah, 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 and they go and do it, and they go, why did I spend so much fucking money for these losers? That's
why you and I are going to wait until you see how bad they play, and then if we're in the mood for a Bruins or Celtics game, we can just go walk up to the box office and get some good seats for $20 because yeah. No one's fucking buying them!
Alright, we can put a... We can put a fork in it.
Yeah. Sorry to end the show on such a downer, especially for the 4-year anniversary, but, you know, our 200th episode is coming up as well, in maybe probably around October, November. We promise we'll try to plan something big for that.
God damn. 200 episodes?
Yep.
What the fuck have we been doing with my Saturdays?
Hanging out here, going to see good movies, bad movies, playing video games, watching anime, listening to music, and hanging out.
Can't forget about porn.
Nope. Yep. Porn as well. So, yep, that about wraps up today's episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. You can write to us, or if you're interested in participating in a future episode of the No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can send your music, and we can hopefully play it on it, to thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blawnik is under Blawnik. And you can also follow our Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com.
We're also on facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. You can check us out on there by going, you know,
Just type it into the top of the search bar. Just type in Boston Bash Brigade. Then like us. And then love us. And then tell us all about it. Tell us how much you love us. I need love.
Alright, so there are a lot of movies that are coming out. We'll figure out what's the next film we're going to see, because when you got Pacific Rim, Red 2, Lone Ranger, Despicable Me 2, and R.I.P.D., all coming out at around the exact same time, it's hard to choose!
Yeah, it makes it really hard to choose with the jello pudding.
Yeah.
God.
So, keep on tuning in, keep on reading our pieces, and we will see you next time. This is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Yeah!